Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Like crawl out from a crack in the floor or something.
Don't drink the silverfish potion at 3 a.m. or you'll turn into a silverfish. Boys here. The internet's number one poison swamp podcast is back to Perfect Perry Your Lord Needs. I'm your adopted son, Peter O'Donoghue, and I am joined by...
It's me. I'm like a pile of black ooze that's actually a dragon and then also slightly sexual? That's weird.
Yeah. My name's James. I lost both my arms in a swamp and nobody gave me a new one. So parrying's pretty tough.
James is our resident bog body on the podcast. So
yes, yeah, perfectly James. Preserved for 800 years.
Yeah, some of you spend all summer getting ready for your beach body for the summer. I just have a bog body, which means I just let my body decay. Yeah,
I was gonna say decay. Bog body ready would be like, oh yeah, to get bog body ready, I committed a crime in Scotland in the 600s, so they just dump me in there. Yep. This is another episode that's been a long time coming. Excuse me. I definitely wanted to play Sekiro before covering, but after finally having put in about 15 hours and truly not enjoying the game, at least between boss fights, I was never going to finish it. Ethan has said he's probably not going to finish it. Jamie's maybe had someday. A million chances. Yeah, exactly. Maybe, so maybe, I don't know if we'd finally
when,
do it.
Maybe when fatherhood gets easier, you know? But until then, yeah. Yeah.
Man, like raising a daughter is hard. You know what I would like to do is relax with a difficult game.
Right.
I'd like to play it. A listener bought it for Ethan, which you also have access to Ethan's account through Family Share. So I'm the only one who doesn't have like free access to it.
I bought it.
But you refunded it because your controller didn't work. We all heard this story.
No, you bought that it. Was you
before.
Bought it again.
I've purchased it a third time.
And
it works fine. Third time was quite simply the charm.
Jamie, the guy out here likes to complain about Pete retelling his stories, tricks Pete into retelling a story.
Yeah.
I guess I stopped listening the third time he said Sekiro, so I didn't know that he bought it.
Yeah. No, it's when Ethan started playing video games, I couldn't access his account anymore. So I was like, well, the listeners want me to cover this. I'm going to need to put the time in. So I finally, I pulled the trigger on it.
Speaking of fatherhood being hard, shout out to Homer. Once patron who bought me the game in the first place and had a baby daughter around the same time as me.
Lisa.
Maggie, I think, is the youngest one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Hewitt, his first daughter would be Lisa.
That's true. Yeah. But luckily, despite the fact I don't really enjoy the game, the people who requested it, patrons Don't Tickle Me, Last Peekaboo, and Commodore Turtle, as well as the normies Captain Happyface 545 and Nathan Wide, which is a great pun. I didn't notice when I was writing it down, but sang it out loud. Top tier, dude. Very good.
I don't get it. Nathan Wide.
It's like, imagine Mike Tyson saying an insurance commercial.
Yeah, gotcha.
Nathan Wide.
It's on your thigh.
I also want to shout out Big Bugs and Immortality, diving into Sekiro's folklore on the Good Morning Amori WordPress. When I do FromSoft games, I like to find a not Vaadi video on YouTube source because he, frankly, in my opinion, my conspiracy is the fact that they started basing the game's lore off shit he made up.
That's
just
like,
because he's a really good storyteller.
Like Mossbag with Hollow Knight.
Right.
It's like, whatever Mossbag says. Like, the devs have gone on to say, like, yeah, whatever Mossbag says, that's what the lore is. Like,
Bife for Destiny is the same thing, another YouTuber. We skimmed over it there, but fellas, quickly, have you played the game?
Yeah, we've talked about it before. I played until the first giant, and Jamie just said that he's never played it, so.
There you go. Never got the chance.
I've watched gameplay, but.
I did think it was fun. I just like the same thing with Elden Ring. Like, Elden Ring looks fun too, but I'm also like just super not in the mood to grind and get good. I just don't want to get good. I'm done getting good. I got good once upon a time and I'm done. Now I'm going to be bad forever. Okay? Don't be mad.
Yeah. The things that I know from that game is, like, I know it's the first Dark Souls where you could jump, and that was really cool.
That is correct, yeah.
I know that there's, like, a lot of going through, like, camps where you can either sneak through or you can kill your way through. You can, like, go up on the awnings and get or scatter your way across. I know there's a guy with, you kill and then he comes back everybody comes back a second time, but he has his own head after you kill him or something.
There is the guardian ape, which we'll talk about, and we'll also talk about Genichiro Ashina and his grandfather Ishin. They're very important to the setup of the world. It's what this whole thing is about here.
I've seen the snake over the cliff.
Yeah.
That part, I forget why. Gander. Yeah, it was.
It's like the false dragon, I think, is what it's actually called. It's from Japanese mythology.
Right. And I've seen the very opening clip a couple times too, because I've watched a few streamers like start the game where you have your first battle where you're doomed to lose, I guess. But I know a little bit about the game just through cultural osmosis, but never played it through. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'd still recommend people try it. Certainly, like me personally, which I've mentioned on other episodes, like I'm fucking tired of FromSoft's greatest hits. I put down Sekiro when I was in a poison swamp that poisoned me and slowed me down, and I was just attacked from all angles by sword wielding monkeys, and I was like, I'm not doing this again, guys. Like, I got the loot, I got to the boss, I died to it once, and then I had to go back, and I was like, I just, not a fifth time, I'm not fucking doing it. Like,
I find it surprising though, like when it comes to like Pinocchio, you were happy to play it two times in a row right away.
And they had a poison swamp.
Yeah, and it was repetitive.
No, I thought that. I'd take a shot in the dark.
Playing the exact same game twice in a row, I guess, is less variety than a whole new FromSoft game. I'm surprised you didn't enjoy it.
It's just because I hate playing it is really the problem. The boss fights are great, and just the levels, the it has a clear plot with like voiced characters and all this shit. And this review exists, I think, on the bonus, so I'm not going to get too into it. It's just the abstract Dark Souls storytelling that for some reason they are completely committed to is just like,
remember, okay, well, everyone who's new who's joining is coming because they like the lore.
Yeah, I mean,
we shouldn't just spend the first opening shitting on the game.
I know. It's like like it, and it really disappoints me that it's just not clicking with me, because everything a lot of what I've seen is cool, and I had a ton of fun putting this together. It's just not for me, so don't at me for not beating the game if I get something wrong about the post credits or whatever. I Googled as much as I could.
Right? I thought it was a lot of fun. I really did. If I was 24 again, I would commit the time, because I think I would like it a lot more than like Souls, because it's faster, and I typically really like that in games, like the really quick
story
running around. Yeah, right. Whatever. The story, take it or leave it for me with the. Like, that's not why I go to a Souls game. That's not why I'm going to a FromSoft game. I want a good story. You know, I'm playing a CRPG turn-based if I want, like, good story, basically. So. Yeah. Or, I should say, an engaging story for myself. I think, but.
Yeah. Still, I get to recommend. I think people should try it out. I think the combat's good enough that probably anybody could learn it, in my opinion, at least.
Hassan Piker did it. You can, too.
Yeah, that guy's a fucking idiot. I think. I don't know. I've never watched
it.
His specialty's in politics, not in gaming, and everyone would make fun of him for not getting good, and eventually he got good. He's a very famous figure online on like Twitter and YouTube and all that.
I've heard of him.
Anyway, who, what, where, when, and why? So the general setting of the game is the Sengoku period in Japan's history. This is a historical period that lasted from 1467 to 1615. My lore boys canon is that the game takes place some point before 1589, since the primary family clan clan that you go up against are the Ashina clan, at least for the first 15 hours of the game, which is how I got it. Could change at some point. Genichiro Ashina is also my favorite boss fight that I got through there. He's the one before the Guardian Ape and has three phases. I'll show you a picture later and it'll be available for patrons. Fucking phenomenal. Great rhythm. Getting the parries down feels so goddamn good when you learn them. It's closer to Guitar Hero than it is to Dark Souls, because it's just like boom, 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 boom. Like, once you get the rhythm, I was getting through the first phase zero damage. But then the third face would always whip my ass because that's a long fight. But yeah,
It's funny you make that comparison because there's a Mario streamer I watch who used to be like very competitive in Guitar Hero. And I watched him play Dark Souls the first time, and he made that exact comparison. He's like, it's more like with the parry timings and everything. He's like, it's more like Guitar Hero than it is like an action, honestly.
Or like a fighting game. Is that Ryukar? Ryukar?
No, Tab East 721. It's the same guy who's beating every N64 game.
Right. I have him on Twitch because you mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I'd wager, and this information might be out there, that the game takes place in the 1540s, since the founder of Ashina, Ishin, is still alive during the game. He's visibly old as fuck. However, thanks to the divine waters that we're going to talk about, he could actually be centuries old. But it's like he doesn't like when you meet him for the first time, he's like, ah, on my 101st birthday, you would be here or some shit to give us like real good information as to what is going on. Now, while the Ashina clan is real, and if you guys want to open up the first image I got there, you should see the family crest. It's like three parallel lines in a circle. Ishin is not a real historical figure, nor the founder of the real Ashina clan. That is a guy named Miura Yoshikai, and the clan ended up dissolving after losing a battle against Date Masamune in 1589, which
Masamune is a big name.
It is, yeah. Well, like, this era of Japan had also, like, the great unifier, Oda Nobunaga. Like, this is big Japanese time. It's their favorite period to set games
in. Japanese time.
It's their favorite time period to put a game in, right?
Is this, like, when...
Sengoku period.
I'm bad with, like, history. I know, like, England and Spain and all them, like, they colonized North America. But at a certain point, like, Japan was going out and colonizing everywhere.
They colonized Korea and Manchuria, which is part of China or Russia, I think, or something like that. The Koreans and the Japanese currently still have bad blood, as far as I know. That's one of those like country rivalries. Like the Nordic countries aren't all fond of each other. I've heard from my Swedish friend who doesn't like the Finns.
I know for Koreans, there's like Koreans that are alive today that have seen like their whole village is like butchered by Japanese and stuff. Like, it's not that far in the history for Japanese and Korea, but 500 years ago, I have no idea what's going on in the world history.
Still a lot of empire crafting, but Japan has got a bunch of, I think they were called like shogunates. It's a bunch of like large family clans constantly fighting for control over each other. Oda Nobunaga was the guy who, at least through fights and politics, was the first great unifier of Japan because he won enough victories to put together a sizable chunk of the island, right?
Cool. The Wikipedia page, Japanese invasions of Korea, starts in 1592. So it was definitely happening around this time.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so they took care of the Ashina, and they were just like, okay, Korea's next on the ticket, baby. Like, let's go. Two and a half years later.
This is like 1592 to 1598, so this is like a very specific series of invasions of Korea. I'm going to guess it had been happening much earlier and also probably continued much past this one particular instance. This is a cap, like, you know, the first letters are capitalized for Japanese invasion of Korea.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
Okay.
So all that stuff about the Ashina clan is not game canon, but it is cool that the Ashina were a real clan in the Sengoku period. Sekiro's version of Japan is predictably more fantastical, so I didn't really expect them to adhere to real Japanese history. Frankly, when I started researching this, I thought they made up every fucking word of it, and I found it really cool that they pulled from a real period and like a real family clan and a bunch of other kind of real stuff, which I thought was a very nice touch, especially since so much of Dark Souls, well, like their previous games at least, is completely fake. Like the only accurate thing in Bloodborne is like the British people in knife crime, right? Like they stab each other with pointed sticks when they get drunk in the streets.
I just have to wonder, like, culturally, is Ashina, would that just be like that's like the Wagner family? You know, like, it must just be like a normal name for them, right? It sounds so fantastic to us, to like this very real group of people, like the Ashina clan. But
yeah, right. It's like, remember when the Smiths banded together and
John Smith?
Yeah, like the king's last name is like Windsor, which is like, oh yes, the Windsor family, right?
Exactly.
So, that's true. Yeah, I'm real royalist. I said king. I was right. Wow. So. Above this version of Japan is the Divine Realm, a landscape of clouds, lightning storms, and mountaintops, coiled around or maybe even growing out of a massive immortal Sakura cherry tree, is called the Everblossom, is the Divine Dragon. So you guys can pull that one up now as well if you want. It should be the second one. It is such a cool looking fucking dragon.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's like a... got the body of a tapeworm. He's got like little tendrils, got tiny, tiny little hands. Oh boy, cute little hands. But white coming out of this giant cherry blossom tree with like a big, like, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 dildos on a stick.
It's, yeah, it looks like he's wielding a like a plastic cactus. You would,
that's
get
what I was
going to
say. It has like the cactus pattern of where it like has the little arms that stick out.
Yeah.
And it do you notice he only has one arm? Like our future hero Sekiro man will.
He has three. But yeah.
Well, I was going to say he has two, but I didn't see the big arm holding the cactus. I just saw the two tiny little forepaws there.
Yeah. Where's the, he's got little T-Rex arms where his regular looking shoulders would be, but then the rest of the dragon body goes down to what looks like a man's torso growing out of its neck. Right?
Yeah, his little hands like this looks like he's like a servant who's ready to take your order if you just cover the bottom half of him. But then where he's meant for business, he only has one arm. Looks like
he's got some Falcor vibes, I think, from the Neverending Story, right?
White dragon. An Asian dragon, very serpentine, white. He's got the whiskers, very almost cool. I love this.
A very like canine face, though, almost, I think.
Yeah, well, like a lot of Asian dragons kind of have like a lion or like a felid face, right?
Mm-hmm.
As well.
What's a felid? Like cat-like?
Yeah.
Felid Navidad.
Yeah, he's got like a Spanish Christmas look to him, if you know what we all know what that looks like. You know, your drunk Spanish uncle shows up holding the cactus, and he says Feliz Navidad. So the Divine Realm here takes direct inspiration from the Japanese version of heaven called, and I'm gonna fuck this up, Takamagahara, or Ame, thankfully, in the Shinto religion. The Shinto Book of Myths, Legends, and Lore, the Kojiki, states that Ame is the birthplace of all the gods, and the cloudy landscape comes from a depiction of the Japanese god of islands, Kinayumi, poking his spear through the clouds into the ocean to create the Japanese archipelago.
Cool.
So that's where the landmass came from. So
from a spear.
Yeah. I don't understand how exactly. There's a picture which I didn't pull up that I just saw on the Wikipedia page where it's just like him standing on a cloud very casually poking the ocean creating islands, and then there's just like a goddess standing next to him just watching him work the whole time.
No, she's doing better than that. She's just showing him her tits.
Is she?
Yeah. And he's ogling her while he's doing this.
Pardon me.
I'll post the picture for you. Okay.
Yeah,
for the patrons. We'll
which angle is it from? Facebook. Yeah.
Oh, this is not the one I saw. This rocks.
This is just
That is a classic 14th century Owuga look on his eye, on his face right now. That is fantastic.
Yeah, dude, those boobs have gotten so excited his hair's starting to curl on top.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got the double pony knot. I guess the samurai used to be the double samurai back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a sign of their power. You would claim
terrible
other samurai
teeth.
Knots.
He has a glorious neck beard, he has a very weak chin. And he's just staring at this lady.
He's got a penile nose. He looks like a troll or something, almost.
Yeah, he looks like a Japanese devil.
A little ogre-ish.
Yeah.
Is he knee-deep in water?
Clouds. Or possibly the ocean, yeah. Okay. But yeah, he lived among the clouds with the other gods and goddesses.
Cool.
Sekiro's Divine Realm is the source of the rejuvenating waters, waters that when consumed heal the body and can even grant immortality. The game's healing potion is rejuvenating waters that automatically fill up within you have a drinking gourd, which was like an old piece of, you know, an old vessel people would use. They'd dry out a gourd and then drink out of it from there to carry around.
It's Ame no Azume's branded gamer girl bathwater is what you're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Where she through the clouds poked her feet into the water around Japan harvested that.
I got
like
spear,
one little
I got
toe drawn Jesus fish in the water.
That's a callback to our Patreon bonus episode. Patreon.com/Loreboys.
Go get it. If you want the real potent shit though, you may want to consume the divine sediment, This is the minerals mixed with giant magic koi fish shit down at the bottom of the Fountainhead Palace's reservoir. It's very much like the fentanyl or trank to the Healing Gourd's like prescription painkiller, basically. Mm-hmm. That's the good shit. So you can open
you
up.
You start with the prescription good water, and then eventually, whenever the government takes that away from you, then you go to the the scat at the bottom of the sea? Or
Yeah. So basically, when your insurance stops covering your gourd water, then you need to go talk to a giant fish, and he'll hook you up with the dirt from the bottom of the lake. And
you know those fish that pick up pebbles off the ground and spit them?
Yeah. But,
spits it in your face.
It's like a bag of heroin.
Pick that up off the bottom of the ocean amidst all that koi shit and spit it in my mouth is a very junky way of going about it, right?
So. Yeah, it is like it is taking butts out of the cracks of the sidewalk, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can open the picture of Genichiro Ashina now as well, which should be the next picture. Guy with a red sash and a blackened arm.
Mm-hmm.
On the subject of like the complete dissolution of some of our cities, some of his flesh is turning black, possibly due to the consumption of divine sediment. Genichiro, despite his 3-stage fight, does not die. He does come back to life at the end of that fight and is one of the optional final bosses that you can go up against. In reality, though, I don't know if it's actual like decay from the sediment on his arm.
Just diabetes and gangrene. Like, yeah.
Gangrene's not actually far off, actually.
Just beating up a leper, yeah.
Yeah, they're invincible, right?
I saw an awful 4chan post today. If someone's like, I've got gamer leg, and their leg was like literally rotting off because of like gangrene and shit. It's like,
where are you seeing 4chan posts these days?
Through Reddit.
Where he likes hanging out with his friends.
I don't hang out on 4chan.
Jamie likes to make big plans on 4chan, if you know what I mean.
Wait a second.
Keep an eye out, Governor. You'll be seeing him real soon.
Pete's comic book's coming soon, but maybe Jamie's manifesto will get here sooner.
Like the first 400 pages are just a manifesto. Comic starts in there.
Yeah, it says Anon 77642 is like the person who wrote it. Yeah. No, there's some weird shit out there. There's like a guy who made mustard gas and like poisoned himself in his own bathroom. There's like a lot of crazy shit that goes on in there.
Yeah, there's weird shit on 4chan. It's been weird since I found out about it in 2005.
Like, yeah. Well, they do that stuff, but they also do fun stuff like take a bunch of dinosaur pictures that people have drawn in textbooks, and any of them with their mouth open, they put a microphone in front of it and Photoshop, so it looks like the dinosaurs are singing. So we get that too.
It's Jamie's manifesto is just a bunch of dollar store dinosaur stickers with microphones sent to the mayor. She's like, I don't know how to react to this. Am I in danger?
Give Stegosaurus a microphone by the end of today or you'll regret it.
Yeah. Am I in danger? Jamie on a Stegosaurus just comes stampeding through City Hall. It's like, I tried to warn you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the Killdozer, but it's just got like a Stegosaurus. Like, it's painted to look like a Stegosaurus.
Killdozer is legendary. That guy who stole the plane and just flew it around.
Sky King.
Legendary. Yeah.
No, I don't know Sky King. I know Killdozer. Very familiar. Very legendary. Yeah.
Yeah. Killdozer legendary. Sky King is a sad story, which people should look up at some point. It is both inspiring and sad at the same time, I would say.
Because the guy went up there with the plan of not making it down, but there's like footage of him up there like flying over a mountain. He's like, this is fucking beautiful, man. This is awesome. And I think he did like a barrel roll in a plane.
Yeah, he did several loop-de-loops, and a lot of pilots were just like, I would never be able to do that. And like the DC-9 that he fucking stole from Alaska. Anyway, my theory, and again, this may come later than 15 hours into the game, I think Genichiro's arm is burned and somewhat gangrenous due to the lightning strikes that he can capture with his blade. This method is called the Way of Tomoe, which was taught to him by the great warrior Tomoe before she died.
The snake that you showed, or the dragon that you showed us, that's holding the cactus blade, has a lightning strike hitting the blade as well.
He can also capture lightning and throw it at you. You have to parry it and throw it back. I watched the fight because the music in the Divine Dragon fight is divine, as it were.
Of course.
The one thing I wanted to... some of the legendary warriors that fought in a battle are like the Owl, Madam Butterfly, Ishin Ashina, and then Tomoe as well. These are like some of the ancient clan of warriors who... like helped defeat some other clan for Ashina. Ashina is also the local government who now have a conflict with the Interior Ministry, which is loosely based off of the Right Ministry from Oda Nobunaga. That's just something I read and left out, but there you go. Little nuggy there off the top. Off the
sure.
The Divine Waters seem to have stagnated over time since they've just been straight up just collecting in a reservoir, just fucking sitting there, bird shitting them and whatnot.
You gotta clean your divine water tanks every so often.
Yeah, you've got that, like it's almost identical to a pool skimmer, but it's made of just like 16th century Japanese wood, just like trying to get dead like birds out of it.
Yeah. I was thinking of like baptisms and stuff. Do you have to like shake or stir the water before you dunk the baby in to make sure the holy is equally spread apart, or is it like sediment?
Oh, like it's separated?
Falls to the bottom?
Yeah, I think they leave it. I don't think they leave it full all week. You know,
there is a the church I went to in our small town where I got my littlest brother baptized. They had one at the door where anyone could just give himself a flick. And then they had one
for
the baby.
People sticking their hands. You got to change that water. People just walking in, sticking their that's a pre-COVID world. Right?
It's a pre-COVID world.
Water for people.
I'm
to
pretty sure
their hands in and flick on their face.
They dump out and like add more holy water at the end of the day.
Yeah,
I would assume.
I'm free. It's free. Yeah. You're a priest. You just make more. Dummy.
Yeah. That's it. That was from the pre-show too. I'm not going to tell that story again. But,
oh, okay. Yeah. Can't give it all away for free.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never given myself a flick of the holy water. I think I've given my sandwiches more pickle juice or olive juice flicks than I've given myself.
It's like a blessing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
You say a sacred rite while you do it?
Yeah, I do. My sandwiches have a cross. My sandwiches have a cross section.
In omni pickle.
What if the Sekiro guy's just chugging pickle juice?
Oh, dude, yeah. He's just like chasing shooters with it.
Hey, I mean, it'll ward off gamer leg.
Oh yeah, you don't want to get gamer leg, man.
Just electrolytes. Yeah. That's what you need to stave off the gamer leg.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you're confused with the size of this reservoir. It's like a natural reservoir that's being filled with that you would dam up to create like a hydroelectric dam. It's massive.
Oh, you need a big spoon to stir up that holy mess.
I mean, he's got a giant cactus stick. Like, just stir it up, dude.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah,
what's he so busy with?
It's like when you haven't shaken up the ketchup. It's like the ketchup pre-cum that comes out and fucks up everything you're putting it on.
Ugh, I hate that.
So
I would shake my ketchup. I want a full load. I'm not gonna edge you, ketchup bottle.
Yeah, make sure to shake your babies before you baptize them. I mean,
something like that. So yeah, like I said, they seem to have stagnated over time. Those who partake in the current divine waters or consuming the current divine water, or at least over an extended period of time, seem to rot away and sometimes mutate. This is a neat reuse of the Curse of the Undead from Dark Souls. Undeath, you do come back to life. You guys can open up a picture of just a Senpo monk who looks all stroked out. His skin's all gray and gross and his face is saggy. He's been consuming divine waters. Some people turn into what are called mist nobles, which I don't have a picture of, but their face is completely peeled back and they just have like chattering Halloween skeleton teeth and like a wormy body and they just kind of crawl around. If you want to look up a mist noble.
Jean Chrétien drank the water, man.
We elected him.
This mist noble looks like a pet that you would have, Peter.
Yeah, they're cute in an ugly way. It looks like it's got like a chihuahua face.
Is that the thing with the centipede on it? Am I too far ahead?
I posted a picture. Pete hadn't provided us with
that. Oh, okay.
If you go to the bottom. Long fingers, very like moist pink skin, just holes where eyes should be.
Do you notice that?
Getting flat and big, and the upper lip is completely rotted away.
They have an extra knuckle on the fingers too, which is kind of very uncanny. Yeah.
It's for edging ketchup.
Yeah,
three so really, spots, baby.
Yeah, I'm jealous of how long
prostate.
My darling Heinz.
I'm jealous of how long that pinky is. I got a little short one.
You know, if you could
reach to the bottom of the cocaine bag.
if you could reach, if when you're fingering a ketchup bottle, if you can reach 57, all the ketchup will come out right away, very easily.
God.
Yep.
In some cases, whatever has consumed the divine waters becomes infested. And this is when a massive centipede takes host within the body, which Jamie opened up there because I didn't provide the right picture, or the same picture, rather. This is different than being descended directly from the divine dragon itself, at least what I think the lineage is. The Kuro, the divine heir, our Prince Peach for the episode, is immortal, and he is visibly not rotting away. The plot revolves around rescuing him from the Ashinik clan and then severing his immortality so people will stop going to war over him. That's kind of what he wants to do. In-game, he's also called the Dragon Prince, or said to have dragon's blood. But more on all of that and immortality after the break.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back from the break, everybody. Thanks for listening. So the Ashina likely captured Kuro to use in their ongoing war with the Interior Ministry, like I'd mentioned. There's no like great unification that Nobunaga would have done in Sekiro. He's not mentioned. His equivalent is not mentioned at all. Like the primary mover and shaker right now is Ishin Ashina, the one that's okay. Left over. And you do get to fight people from the Interior Ministry. They're just one of the enemy types. They seem to be uncorrupted. They'll seem to be human, excuse me. So they don't seem to be partaking in the divine waters, which is good for their health, which is likely why that they're trying to get Kuro. Everybody wants the immortal Dragon Prince, dude.
Right.
It's like a really good like political thing to have.
Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want Peach Boy?
Yeah.
So I read that his name is a reference to the Chinese Nine Sons of the Dragon King, where he is the dispenser of rain. This does make really good sense as a dragon prince, where divine water falls from heaven and collects in a reservoir. I tried to follow up on that, like through the fan wiki and through the Wikipedia link, and from that WordPress that I'd been looking up afterwards. The only Chinese rain dragon I could find was called Yin Long, so that's like Chinese boy canon, I guess. That is his inspiration, because I believe Kuro roughly translates to ninth son in Japanese, but it's completely different from all the nine names, even modernized nine names of the Chinese dragons. So I don't. Yeah. No,
it's as scary whenever you think of like North American history and the types of people who give themselves titles like dragon or fury or things like that. They bad things happen over here, so I hope better things are happening over there.
Who's the dragon? Oh, yeah, never mind.
Dragon D's nuts.
The Grand Dragon. Have you heard of him?
That's what popped into my head at first. I was just like, who the fuck calls himself the dragon? That's so stupid. It is still stupid.
It's so stupid.
It's still stupid.
I was right. So get one of the game's endings. You are sent to the divine realm to get a tear from the dragon's eyes. The item description reads on the tear item itself: tears received from the divine dragon. The gracious gift of tears can only be granted by the mortal blade. The body of the divine dragon is eternal, and its tears, once shed, will maintain their form and moisture in perpetuity. Should one of the dragon's heritage partake in the dragon's tears, immortal severance will be reified. So I did not get far enough into the game to encounter the word reified, so I googled it. It is to make something abstract more concrete or real.
Big snakes don't cry. Have you ever seen a snake cry?
No, they have the cap over their eyes.
Yeah.
They don't even blink.
We're also like, are we just going to gloss over the fact that this has the potential to keep something permanently moist?
Now you don't need those long missed noble fingers to get your ketchup.
All the circumcised Americans out there listening to the podcast just like salivating at this, man. Like, come on.
One dragon's tear, please.
Infinite jergens, come on.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Vaporeon copy pasta with Pal World blowing up and Pokemon blowing up right now. God damn.
God damn, dude. The Immortal Blade I'll get into later. It's also very important. One thing that I noticed in the line on the tier is that the body of the divine dragon is eternal. This doesn't seem to be correct with the way it looks. The big, wide, epic screenshot I gave you guys is just because I wanted you to see the entire landscape, but it's missing a fucking arm.
Wait.
Right?
So, in Jesus, like when you go to church and they're like, you get to eat the body of Jesus and they give you a cracker, when they do it for the snake, do they give you a spaghetti?
Yeah, it's like a Halloween witch thing. The priest is like, oh, he puts the little blindfold over your eyes, like, oh, this is the great, this is the divine dragon's eyes.
Don't slurp your deity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody goes to church in Sekiro with a fork.
Yeah, a fork and a spoon because you got to twirl.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. You can twirl at the bottom of the bowl, just at the bottom of the chalice.
You're gonna twirl in the communal bowl, take up everyone's time like that, dude. That's just rude. Come on,
it's gonna scratch over time.
Your spoon, twirl it up yourself, take it home.
That's right. Twirl it in the walk back to your pew would probably be the way to do it, right? Just Sekiro, just twirling spaghetti.
Yeah, someone brings their own sauce like out of a pocket.
Isha and Ashida, they're going to war over who does and does not cut their spaghetti. Which I personally think people who cut their spaghetti are barbarians.
It deserves it. It's a justified war, right? It's a just war.
It is.
Another thing with spaghetti is the sauce on before or after serving is another argument. So some people like to mix it with the sauce like in the pan and let it cook and the sauce get into the noodle a bit. Some like to put the noodle down and then ladle the sauce onto it.
I mix up tortellini or ravioli, but spaghetti noodle and most other pasta noodles, it's pasta, sauce, cheese for me.
Yeah, it would depend on the sauce for me. Like if it was we're gonna piss off the Italians now, but if it was like if I was doing like a rosé sauce with spaghetti, I would mix it because I would want it thoroughly mixed. But if it's a bolognese,
any of the creamy sauces you would mix in, right?
Yeah, really? Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I think you could do both ways. I've tried it both ways. Sometimes I feel like, hey, I want to let it mix and I want to let everyone get to know each other in the pot. Or sometimes is it homogeneity of like the two different mix? It like where it doesn't quite
different would be hetero.
Yeah. Right? Is it heterogeneity of like the two different feels? Like sometimes you have a little bit more sauce on one bite than another bite. I think that's
ravioli kisses boys is homogeneity.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the chef. The chef's a gay icon. Chef Boyardee, of course.
Chef Boyardee is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's actually a drag queen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything's a drag queen. We already established that the gays have figured out all the puns. If there's a pun, the gays will find
it. They've taken it. Yeah. There's no new stories. There's only seven drag queen names that have been told throughout the centuries, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Anyways, if you're making your pasta one way, try it the other way. You can mix it up.
You'll have to go to war with the Japanese if you do. Yeah. But to on your point of like immortality or like it being eternal, like it's lost an arm. There's two things I'm thinking here. There is like the age old debate of like immortality versus invincibility. Are they
an arm and a leg?
Can it be destroyed? Well, he ain't got no legs in the first place. Can never pay that debt.
That's why I got to get rid of the arm.
He doesn't gamble, so he's fine.
Or it could just be like you could destroy it, but it's eternal. It'll always come back, right? Like it'll always just like recoalesce or be reborn. Or whatever, like it could still be eternal in that sense, right?
It could also be getting sick. The Miyazaki directed Souls games, every single one of them is just like, oh, you pursued immortality and destroyed the world around you. Sekiro's the fucking same story again, right? Like the curse of the undead and rekindling the fire for the Souls games, drinking alien blood and Bloodborne, right?
Yeah.
The shattering of the ring.
Is he okay making all these games? Is he okay? Is he worried? Is it all climate change?
I think he's really worried about, like, he would hate that guy who drinks his son's blood to live forever, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That
for
rich
sure.
dude? Yeah. So, cutting your spaghetti.
You mean all of them? Tom Hanks?
That's why Chet Hanks is a little loopy. Yeah, not enough blood.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's my kind of fan theory, is the fact that, like, all immortality leads to decay, and the Divine Dragon is not actually eternal, maybe, because, like, nothing is ever happy in Miyazaki-directed games. But also, it growing back and maybe, like, losing a part of itself is an excellent theory.
You own axolotls. Well. How did you not think of that?
What, that they grow their arms and legs back?
Yeah. You can cut off one of your axolotls on your hands right now.
Until it grows back, fight it every time it has all its limbs.
I think it goes forever. I don't know if they've got, like, a life system, like Mario.
That's it. They're eternal, too.
Well, that means that every few days they're going to have to fight you until they beat you. But then when they beat you the first time, then you come back alive a second time. You're holding your head.
We'll set it up for you, Pete. Put it in your will.
All right, thank you. I will.
We'll set up your will so that you with like a RC exoskeleton will pop out of the casket holding your own severed head and try and fight your axolotls at the service.
Can it light up like a jack-o'-lantern too?
Oh, sure, yeah. Buddy.
Thank you.
We'll put some RGBs. Just
jack-o'-lantern skull, cybernetic limbs.
Jamie will give you a little microphone sticker that I'll stick on your face too.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I was just thinking, you should feed your axolotls spaghetti.
They're carnivores.
They'd slurp them.
They would be very cute. They like eating worms. It's kind of like spaghetti. Anyway, Kuro, being the last of his
spaghetti
ancient
of
clan,
the sea.
worms, the spaghetti of the earth.
Yeah, but the things that eat it's in the sea. And the earth, I guess, in the sky.
Not every worms, right?
The spaghetti of earth. Yeah.
Yeah. Kuro, being the last of an ancient clan, was adopted by Minister Harada of the Ashina clan. You do go to the Harada estate. You kind of have a vision of the past in Sekiro, or fairly early on, or at least I did it fairly early on.
Yeah, I think I did that one. It's where it's like it's all burning, right? And you're
exactly. That's when Kuro was kidnapped. Basically,
okay. Yeah.
Kuro's being you, the player character.
No, the Peach Boy.
Sekiro is you.
Oh. Okay, yeah, it is your name.
The Divine Prince is Sekiro, I believe, is Japanese for wolf, because in the English subtitles, everybody calls you
call
wolf.
You wolf.
Yeah, exactly.
Sekiro.
Right. So he was adopted by Minister Harada and given a personal shinobi guardian. You, the player, Sekiro or wolf. Sekiro himself was an orphan on a battlefield when he was adopted by the legendary shinobi named the Owl. He's the super big guy with the huge braid that you see in the opening cutscene. The game takes place about 20 years after he was adopted, which would make Sekiro fairly close to our age, maybe mid to late 20s. Judging by what the CG model of him looks like, I have a picture of young Sekiro holding the blade of a giant katana. For you guys and for the patrons.
Cool.
He looks, you know, between 5 and 10.
He's our age and he's doing all that running and jumping.
He has a prosthetic arm, so that's like a few joints not aching, right?
Yes. So tiring.
He's a cyborg.
I don't see you forgot a picture. There's no picture of him with a giant katana.
Well, there's a guy on his knee accepting a sword. Is that the one?
Yeah, exactly. His right hand is extended. It's in front of him. Okay. Anyway, the little boy is young Sekiro.
Yeah, that's like the opening cutscene, right? Or like the title cutscene.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It was like the first trailer. It's CGI. It's not even in-game. Mm-hmm. So Kuro gifts Sekiro some of his power, allowing him to die twice before needing to respawn and lose some of his currency forever. One thing I know you had mentioned a long time ago, Ethan, I don't know if it was like off air or whatever, so people may have heard this. When you die in Sekiro, everything you lose is gone forever. There are no corpse runs. You lose money and experience. Yeah. It's fucking gone, which is kind of hardcore. It's a little crazy.
Kind of hardcore, but then I also think I like it more. Like, if we've talked about this on air, I probably said it, but it's like, I didn't like the stress of like trying to do the corpse run and making sure I don't die and not get like gangbanged by people. But it's like when it's all gone, I'm like, cool, I'm just playing the game now. Like, that's fine by me. Like, you know,
You have to like in Bloodborne, you have to farm your drinks. Like if you want to have enough health potions or whatever to get through a boss, like you can run out. But in Dark Souls, you always when you die, it fills back up. In Sekiro,
your gourd water refills when you rest at a Buddha statue.
Okay, so that's good.
Yeah.
So there's like literally no running. You just are for stuff. You're like, okay, well, I'm going to lose XP until I commit. I'm level 18. I'm going to lose it to the bottom of level 18. I should spend all my money because I'm going to grind a new boss. And then you just live life that way, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was doing. It's just like, just fight regular enemies. If you're close to leveling up, you don't lose skill points. So if you're close to leveling up, just grind, get the point, and you got nothing to fucking lose.
Right.
But I didn't learn this. I don't remember this part of the tutorial. I remember just noticing, like, I can't afford anything, which is odd. And it's like, oh, yeah, you lose all the fucking money when you die.
Rip.
Dying and respawning. This is, again, another kind of curse of immortality. Dying and respawning seems to be kind of spiritually radioactive in a way. Major characters start to become afflicted with dragon rot if you are bad at parrying and get killed all the time. this can actually be cured. You can cure all the characters at the same time with what I imagine is a limited resource called a dragon's blood droplet. It's a consumable. I was using a dragon's blood droplet every time a third character got dragon rot, because that was too many people to not be able to progress through their quests back when I was under the assumption I was going to finish the game before doing this episode, right?
Yeah.
The description states that the more that someone with the dragon heritage dies, the more people will begin to suffer from dragon rot. So this is a curse that would apply to Kuro as well. So it's maybe taking life force from the people around the Divine Heir and Sekiro, which is a Loreboy's canon, right? It's draining from someone, and a drop of Divine Dragon blood can cure people around you. You don't need to take it to them; you just consume it, and it just disperses throughout the universe and like karma,
everyone's
basically, and everybody's fine. Of course, because I got killed a few more times. The sculptor, the guy who upgrades your prosthetic arm, I think I gave him dragon rot 3 times, which is just like, Pete, just wear a fucking mask when you come over.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Like every 10 days, I'm just refreshing it.
The problem is you're always coming in when one of your arms it needs a repair, right? So hard to get that mask on with just the one left hand.
I'm holding the sword. Just like the stump trying to hook it around.
Snap it like whap into the side of the cheek there.
It also, I find this, I don't know, this reason for the dragon rot spreading that I made up, it kind of has like an Aesop fable-esque twist to it, where it's just like, oh, the greedy animal of the story resurrects and everybody, it's like crops die, whereas the little red hen who, you know, doesn't get herself killed by ninjas and does not need to resurrect, she like has like a bountiful harvest and makes her bread and whatnot, right?
Yeah.
The Loreboy's fable, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So without a divine heir of their own, the immortality obsessed Buddhist monks of the Senpu temple, which was the stroked out guy I showed you later, sought to create their own divine heir. So using the divine waters that they had at the Fountainhead Palace, they created the Divine Child of Rejuvenation. She is known now as the last heir of the False Dragon's heritage. So, there was multiple children. This is from a Vadi Vidya video, where he explained, like, oh yeah, if you look under the Fountainhead Palace, or under the shack they have in the back, there's just a bunch of dead little skeletons. Like, the Senpu monks had clearly been experimenting on children to create their own divine heir for quite some time. And as you can see in the photo, a lot of them have kind of rotted away at this point.
You know, aside from the child murder, I think they should have worked on their acronym game a little better. Because Divine Child of Rejuvenation, if they changed it around a bit, it could be Doctor. It's almost there. It's Dictor. Or like Dick. I think I could have done a little better than them for the naming.
Divine only child to hopefully resurrect.
What was it last
week? All the Cockney Buddhists that are experimenting on the textile mill children.
We're trying to guess what a Dragon Ball topic was based off of just BR. And you're like, yeah, of course it'd be Broly. You're like, what else would it be? Or brr, it's Frieza.
Frieza out here.
You can get a little. You can stretch it with the acronyms.
So in the possession, in her possession, the Divine Child of Rejuvenation's possession, she has the Mortal Blade. It can kill anyone even those with the dragon's blood or those who are infested with centipedes. I think I have a picture of the Divine Child. She looks a lot like Kuro, except as a little girl with longer hair. That's really the difference.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I wouldn't have noticed the difference, honestly.
Yeah, they look very similar. Little Japanese girl.
She has both her arms, five fingers, or four fingers and a thumb. That's good.
Yeah, she's distinctly not health. Mutated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's not a pile of bones beneath a fountain. I gotta give that to her.
Not yet.
Unconsumed by centipedes as well. At least, the
time of writing
her body. Yeah, exactly.
we got right to the break when I was thinking of it, but the centipedes, have you ever seen like silverfish? They're like like centipedes that apparently if you live in New York, you have to put like covers on your drains and stuff, or else they'll just crawl out of the sewers into your home. Like out of the pipes.
I'm glad I've never been to New York City and I intend to keep it that way.
Yeah. So
just like there for anyone.
Yeah. We get them here, but you'll see like one at 3 a.m. like crawl out from a crack in the floor or something.
Don't drink the silverfish potion at 3 a.m. where you're into a silverfish.
The silverfish potion at 3 a.m. I don't know who started the potions at 3 a.m. YouTube kids trend, but it is so dumb.
Just weird guys too comfortable making content for children would be my assumption.
Probably. A bunch of child bones in their basement too.
Oh yeah. Check under that guy's shack.
Yeah.
Bunch of dead kids in Amogus costumes.
The cops like writing sus on a notepad.
So the catch with the mortal blade is that merely unsheathing the blade is enough to kill whoever is holding it. You need to spend money to make money, so only those with the power of resurrection can wield the mortal blade. She does gift it to you, and in the cutscene, Sekiro, just like he does the cool samurai like crack, where he just pops out like an inch of the blade out of the hilt, and then dies immediately and has to.
That's like the classic, like this blade bears a poison that could kill 10,000 men, and like the bad guy's threatening you and like licks his own blade. They're like, "Why did you do that?" And you know, like, it's just the classic, like touch the blade and die.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unsheathing it. It's inert. Wow.
Yeah, he slides it up, dies, and it slides back in. He's like, "Fuck."
If you just shake it out onto the floor, it doesn't kill you, which you can't do in the game.
At least not the second time, right?
No, you knock it out like ketchup that's not horny. You have to like hit the bottom hit the bottom.
Sekiro Shadows try to die only once.
Like that.
What?
Some ketchup bottles like to get spanked.
I have a bunch of prude ketchup bottles over at my place. Is the problem.
Dry ketchup for me, please.
My wife is a ketchup doctor. She says that ketchup has never wet.
We all know what doctors.
Yep.
Finally, now that I've danced around it a little bit and kind of we put it in there, we can finally talk about centipedes, both in Sekiro and Japanese mythology. I know. I've been edging you guys this whole time like a bottle of ketchup about the centipede thing. So
centipedes don't actually have 100 legs, but they always have a perfectly even amount of legs.
What if I rip one leg off?
Well, then you're a monster.
It's like, man, that kid who's going to grow up to be a serial killer has been working on that centipede for days.
Yeah, when Sekiro is a centipede and he loses one arm, but it just keeps happening all the way down the right side.
There's a bunch of prosthetics.
Basically, that dragon, right? That dragon is like long and thin, and somebody pulled one of its arms off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some gigantic sick child plucked its arm off, right?
Well, whenever you travel through a black hole, something called spaghettification happens, where you get super stretched out. So dragons are just things that have already traveled through the black holes through time and space, I think.
Okay.
And they've come out the other side.
That's why they're spaghettified.
There's another little universe of just a bunch of squat, round little divine dragons out there.
Oh, they're so cute. Pusheen, yeah. They roll around, they can barely fly. They have tiny little wings on their back. Yeah.
Like that's Dragonite, just like...
the Spyro baby dragons that you crack out of the eggs there. They're all roly-poly cute.
Yeah. The little volleyball. So the stagnation of the waters of rejuvenation. I guess, Ethan, if you haven't opened it up, you can look at the centipede monk now. You have my permission.
Ugh.
Yeah.
He's not looking so good.
I really like the fact that they just made big, regular-looking centipedes. They're not stylized whatsoever. They clash very hard with the art style of the game, which I think is really cool. They look very out of place.
They're jarring, yeah.
They're very, but they're just normal-looking.
Yeah. But yeah, like you say, like the it is kind of this like mystical aesthetic, and like, you know, even the creatures that you see are seem to be like stylized a certain way, like the Japanese oni kind of faces and things like that is present throughout, and then it's like bug.
And it's like real bugs close up are creepy enough on their own. I don't know if you guys saw, but there was, it might have been National Geographic, but there was a photo contest, and just this year, a close up picture of an ant's face is what won, and I'll post it here. This is a real ant's face close up.
They're horrible.
Is it like something out of a movie, man? They got like almost like hairy looking teeth, like the red eyes.
Yeah, very alien.
And that's those things walk all over. There's probably 1,000 under any of us right now.
Just they outnumber us billions to one.
Yeah. Thank God they can only lift, from their perspective, big leaves. But for
eight times there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine you could pick up 8 times your weight, dude. I could pick up 8,000 pounds.
Come on. All right. So the stagnation of the waters of rejuvenation have resulted in infestation of immortal centipedes. I think they, like, you know, like spontaneous generation.
This is,
like,
this is
like,
literally New York. This is, they're literally the silverfish crawling out of the divine pool sewers.
Oh yeah, the divine New York tap water. The mayor won't drink on camera.
You go to the swamp level, you have to fight a fatberg.
You kind of do in Demon's Souls. You fight a thing called the Dirty Colossus, which sounds like a sex move, but it is very much like the New York sewer fatberg thing. It's weak to fire. The mayor of New York's afraid of it, probably.
Weak to fire. There's like someone combating fatbergs in the sewer with a flamethrower.
Well, if you melt it back down into butter and gnocchi that's all clogging shit up and like unflushable toilet like baby wipes, right? Then that shit all burns once the water.
We need heated pipes so all the fat doesn't coagulate. Oh, that's the problem.
So just like loops through.
Yeah, and then everybody's hot shit would be passing through a lot faster
too. Everyone thinks they're hot shit, let me tell you.
Yeah, but you're
hey, look at this guy. He's walking around with the attitude of a heated pipe. Thinks he's hot shit.
Yeah. Hey, look at this guy. What, you some sort of warmed up fat burg? Yeah, hot shit. Yeah.
Hey, excuse me. You got heated pipes at home? No? Why you think you're hot shit, huh?
That's the winner right there. So like in the photo I showed, sometimes the centipedes are wrapped around the body of a corrupted individual. Like the monk in the picture is completely desiccated at this point. However, in bosses, like the guardian ape or the corrupted monk, they are inside the body and they burst out of the neck when the host body is killed. Yeah. I didn't
like in Resident Evil.
They're very Las Plagas vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You think they at least give you better back stability? Like they line up with your spine, keep
your
straight.
Spine, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Probably. I think the shell would be good too for distributing weight. Like the centipede infestation gives you a way stronger core than the Las Plagas from Resident Evil. It's a very slimy problem.
Ah. So, but speaking of which,
it's a real cold pipe problem, you know.
That slug joke you guys made last week was popular in the Discord server. I think I got compared to furry and slimy today or something.
So in love with riding slugs, dude.
It's a frost.
You made a big deal out of it.
Peter doctored that picture.
Yeah. I can't even remember that. Like Slug Mountain or some shit. Just like the basic blue aerial font. So, the centipede relationship with dragons is very cool as well, which is what we're going to get into now. The centipedes in Sekiro are based off the mythical Omukade, gigantic centipedes that fed off humans, great serpents, one of which is in the game, and most importantly, dragons. One of the very bizarre parts of the myth is that the Omukade are weak to human spit. So, you like talked about this in your bit about the poison dagger. In the myth where a hero defeats a gigantic centipede, he does lick his arrowhead and it goes right through its shell and kills it. Like, all his arrows bounce off of it, and then the one, then he's just like, I mean, he's like, it works for my wife, and he's like, right through the shell.
There, I mean, there's definitely something to spit in folklore and like, mythology. Like, I just finished reading Neil Gaiman's Stardust, which is, like, it's a... they pitch it as a like a fairy tale for adults. Like, it's a British fairy tale, but written in the 1990s by Neil Gaiman, and it's, you know... but it's really good. But like in one of the scenes, he's like making a deal. The character's making a deal with a witch. He's like in the Fae and he's like making a deal with a witch. And the witch is like spit on the ground, and they both spit, and the witch like combines their spit with her shoe, kind of thing. But you get that all the time, like spit shake and things like that. Like packs made with spit.
There's a company you can spit in a vial. They'll tell you who your grandparents are.
Yeah, I did that.
there's another company, a pretty gamer girl will spit in a vial and ship it to you.
Yeah, you can get farts in a jar now too. You can get anything you like.
Yeah. The Neil Gaiman story, the next witch that that guy has to talk to, she's just like, we need to combine our farts.
And yeah.
they put their asses together.
A whole new meaning on Stardust. Are you kidding me? Yeah, like Stardust in the inside just, of that jar.
Just farting back and forth into each other's butts forever.
Yep. That's something real.
A different game note that I thought was interesting here. There's a fire type centipede Pokemon that's weak to water called Centiscorch, which I thought was a really nice touch of a centipede being weak to water.
It's called Centiscorch in the game?
Yeah.
That is just a Pokemon.
The Pokemon is called Centiscorch.
Oh, sorry. It's actually, I thought you were saying in this game, you were comparing something to a Pokemon.
No, excuse me. On a different game note. I meant different game, not on a different note away from farting into a witch's butt.
Yeah.
A separate video game. The Pokemon Centiscorch is a fire type Pokemon, making it a centipede weak to water. So it really closes the loop on that one. These centipedes coming out of the divine waters and being the false dragons, because they prey on the dragons, and the false dragon's heir being the little girl.
And also, they look like dragons. They got long, thin bodies.
They very similar, like spaghetti with little spaghettis on the sides.
Yeah.
Right? Or like shredded cheese hanging off, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Wouldn't that be just a horrible meal?
one long
pasta
thick spaghetti.
Pasta noodle in the shape of a centipede, just like with like crosshatched cheese.
Could I do one long thick spaghetti? Not like a cannelloni that's like stuffed, but like
I was gonna say cannoli, yeah, or whatever that's cannelloni. Cannoli's like the dessert.
A solid noodle, you know what I mean?
It's probably. Yeah. That's I think at that point you just start approaching bread. Like
yeah,
and can I do that? Eat that?
Yeah,
you cannot safely consume long bread. No, they need to core it. That's why they take the middle out of the like the fusillis and shit.
There's a difference. Like, you want more gluten or like less gluten in your pasta? I think it's more. You want it to be like stickier? I'm not sure.
Is gluten a
binding agent?
Is it an ingredient?
The more you fuck with your dough, the more gluten you create by folding it over and over and over on itself.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
I've never made my own pasta. Right?
Jamie's a hetero genius, is what he said earlier. So.
Well, I like cooking, and my brother used to make pasta from scratch, and he used to really enjoy that.
Oh,
so.
Cool.
You know that.
Yep. I've always liked the press thing, the two rolling wheels with the crank on it to flatten out like a lasagna noodle. My grandmother has one in the basement that I always loved playing with as a child. Never seen her once use it, and it's still there. It's been 30
probably
years.
A cigarette roller,
big old hand rolled darts. So I think through listening to and reading other people's work the divine waters infest those who drink it. So it's like stagnated and is attracting like scavenging animals. I don't know the diets of centipedes. Thank you, Jamie. I don't know the diets of most centipedes, but I know you can find them under logs where there is a lot of decay and whatnot. And like the giant ones with the big fangs that some lunatics keep as pets, I think you have to feed them other bugs. But they definitely scavenge there. And then after that, they can like consume the divine waters. They become immortal and then keep their immortal host alive. You fight the guardian ape twice, the first time without the mortal blade. and where you cut off its head, it comes back to life and you pull out the centipede to execute it, but it comes back later. Where in, I don't know if it's in a cutscene, I didn't get to the second fight, in a cutscene or whatever, it's still decapitated and it's just like pressed up against a wall of the mountain where the reservoir is pouring down and just dumping divine water directly into its like head hole. Oh, where okay. The centipede lives, and that's when you finally manage to kill it, is when you have the mortal blade, you fight the guardian ape again, pull out the centipede, and finally finish it off. And gotcha. The finishing move against the corrupted monk is the same thing. You pull the centipede out of her neck, and then kill it with the mortal blade.
Mortal blade. Gotcha.
The mortal blade, however, doesn't care how you became immortal, as it can kill anything at any time. There is an ending where you execute Kuro with it. You sever his immortality and kill him with the mortal blade. I don't know if it can kill the divine dragon. You do use it to harvest the single tear for one of the endings, but I don't know if you could actually kill the thing. Maybe that's how it lost its arm. Who knows?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so it's also the only way to, like I said, to kill an infested enemy, but its origins are mysterious and it's just, you know, pretty cool. Anyway, that's all I know for the moment about Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. I have been your host, Peter O'Donoghue. You can find me at Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram. I'm shooting to get a comic out soon. I don't know when. I'm still shooting for Valentine's Day. Still feel good about it. Got a lot of coloring done, but every time, just like a log full of centipedes, every time I turn the page, there's more fucking work centipedes to do. Every single time,
I think, you know what, you shoot for getting your colors done by the 14th. I know we talked about it and you're worried about
it. And then we figure out how to sell it.
Get the thing done for the 14th. Worry about your next thing.
You're a star, okay? Me and Jamie, we're going to make you a star, Pete. You don't worry your pretty little head about any of those business decisions, okay?
You get us to pages.
Little noggin with that stuff.
My eyebrows getting real hot from all the thinking I've been doing. You're right.
Yeah. Sign it over to us. We'll take care of you. Don't worry.
No problem.
Yeah.
I ain't worried. I still have fun, but yeah, the amount of work is exponential.
We get like, I don't know, like 45% of peed, and you can get like a good 10% of peed, and we'll be good to go from there.
10% of peed. Thank you.
Jamie, on that banger, you want to talk about Discord where you can find more of these great Jamie jokes?
Discord.gg/loreboys, LOREBOYS. I hang out in there a lot. Whenever I'm up early going to get breakfast at 7 a.m. on a gummy, I'm there. Whenever I'm just playing Pal World and sharing my favorite pals with folks in Patreon AMA. If you also take the extra jump to become a patron, you get access to some other stuff like the loser titles, the pictures for the show, an extra special chat that is supposed to give a little bit of more of our attention. But I tend to be active everywhere. I read just about every single message. So if you want to get in this head, you want to change my biology by just perceiving you, just fucking get in the Discord, man. You can change this whole show.
Do it, you cowards.
Yeah.
Try and change me, dude. I'm immutable. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you enjoy the show, consider leaving us a rating or review on your podcast app of choice. It really does help the show to continue to grow. So we appreciate it. Everyone who has done it in the past. If you want to support the show financially, we do have a patreon.com/loreboys, where you can get access to the episode picks that we've kind of been that I've been frantically pulling up. You get this picture of a scary ant that Jamie posted in our private Discord channel. You also get bonus content. We have over 100 episodes of bonus content ranging anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes each of those. So get in the Discord if you want more information.
Vote on episodes like people did for this one. People voted.
Recently we have been putting up some votes too. We're always looking to do more for the patrons, and we appreciate you guys, and we give you guys a kiss every single week. So thanks so much for considering our Patreon. If you don't trust Patreon, we do of course have Lore Boys Prime, a service that we've always offered the same rewards for the same cost. That's one thing that you can. One other thing that's immutable is always what you give to Lore Boys Prime always gets you the same amount, which is we're gonna put centipedes in your mouth and down your neck. but don't worry, we're gonna make you into a long bread if you're a Lore Boys Prime patron. So there's no payment needed this week. We're going to make long bread from you, and I'm going to try eating you. I want like a spaghetti noodle that's like a eel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I want an eel size and shape spaghetti noodle.
I'd like a lore baguette. I think that would be pretty nice. I'm making a chicken soup.
Lore boyguette.
Lore baguette.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't mind dunking a lore baguette in my soup.
I should go grab one of those rock hard last hour of the grocery store being open baguettes after we're done this, actually.
I got a fresh baguette on the counter from today, and I am going to go have some long bread when we're done.
Dude. I haven't even baguette in a pot, and some pate is what I'm craving right now, actually.
9 p.m., I haven't even put the vegetables into my soup yet, so I'm going to have an 11 p.m. chicken noodle soup, it's looking like, yeah. Very
well,
much.
if you want to help Jamie get long bread like the rest of us, then consider putting centipedes down your neck. Okay? And then that would cost you a lore boy.
Lore boys?
If you think they tickle on the way in, wait till the way out.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.